What's up, friends? Welcome into another episode of Tables, Tailgates, and Top Loaders. So happy to have you all aboard for this episode. I am your host, as always, TB. Thank you very much for stopping in and checking out the three T's. Have a lot to get to, but we're going to do things a little bit differently this week because we are on a bye week. So I figured, hey, let's mix it up a little bit. Let's have some fun. Let's do some stuff a little bit out of the norm. There are a couple news items I do want to hit before we get into it. We're going to start with the cardboard enthusiast. Card marks, how the heck are we feeling? It is a big week if you are a fan of basketball collecting because this is the debut of 2025-2026 Topps Basketball. It comes out this Thursday, October 23rd, and it's pretty buzzy. I got to tell you, it's pretty buzzy, and I haven't collected basketball cards since I was a little kid, since the early 90s. I want to say little kid, but, you know, probably, 13, 14 years old when I was really getting into collecting, and I loved collecting Topps basketball cards, the NBA hoops, the Skybox basketball cards, all that stuff with Jordan and all those guys. That was my jam. That was my wheelhouse. I loved it. For some reason, once Jordan retired, I didn't really get into collecting, or I didn't continue to collect basketball cards too much. But I got to tell you, folks, I'm looking at this Topps release that's coming up Thursday, and I keep diving a little deeper into this release, and I don't know. It's giving me the feels like I might want to dive in. I did miss the pre-order, but they are going to be releasing some more product on Thursday. This is when everything drops. There's a lot of variations. You got your hobby boxes. You got your jumbo hobbies. You got your megas. You got your value boxes. This product's going to be produced to the absolute moon. But I got to tell you, I am starting to maybe have a lot of interest in this thing. This is the first licensed Topps basketball product since the 2009-2010 season. And if you are a collector of Topps baseball, I have talked about this before, but if you've seen the 2025 Topps baseball card series 1, series 2, and soon to be released update, the basketball release coming out Thursday is going to have almost the exact same look. The design of the base cards is going to look very similar, and a lot of the inserts, which we'll talk about here in a minute, they take similar spins of some of the inserts baseball has done. But I got to tell you, I like it. I think not only is it look pretty cool, I think they're playing it. I think they're going to do a good job on this. I actually have high hopes for this product. Now, this is going to be a 300 card base set, and I was looking through the base set, looking through the list, looking through the checklist. And while I don't know too much about the current NBA product, I don't watch too much. I did watch some of the playoffs at the end of last season, but my kids are digging it. They're into it. They are starting to follow it. So I'm thinking, well, maybe I will try to dive back in. But the base set, like I said, 300 cards, and the last 20 are actually retired superstars, like retired really good Hall of Fame players. Like there's some pretty cool players on this checklist. Some of the players I used to love watching: Allen Iverson, Magic Johnson, Carmelo Anthony from this, you know, the one championship I got to watch for the Syracuse Orange Men back in the day, good old Carmelo. But you have Larry Bird, Shaquille O'Neal, you have Tracy McGrady, John Stockton, Spud Webb. I mean, some of these guys are pretty cool. Isaiah Thomas, which I couldn't stand being a Bulls fan back in the day, but you know, I would love to get my hands on an Allen Iverson card. That would look awesome. But yeah, I'm checking this product out, and I think it has the ability to be pretty good. Some of the issues that I see, just like all Topps products, there's going to be a ridiculous amount of parallels. I mean, ridiculous. But you have to understand that this is their time to shine, right? And I think they're going to market this product for literally everybody. So taking the license over is a huge deal. Like I said, it's been, 16 years since they've had the rights to put logos on the players for these cards. Last year, we saw some not too nice Topps releases for basketball product. They just look terrible. You did have Victor Wembanyama, who was signing autos in some of the Topps releases, but there was no Spurs logos. There was nothing to show you that he was on the team, and the cards just looked terrible. They looked terrible. So I think they released Cosmic and some other different variations, and the products just looked terrible. But this, I think they're pulling out all the stops, and I think this product is going to be pretty good. And no matter what your price point is, I think you can get your hands on these cards. So it's going to be very similar to Series 1 and Series 2 for baseball. And I don't think that's a bad thing. And people are out there going crazy about this. Oh, it's sprinted to the moon. Yeah, well, look, Topps is getting back in the game for basketball. And I think it's a smart play. You want to be able to have everyone who wants to get their hands on it, get their hands on it. And I think it's a good thing. But some of the inserts, I really do think some of the inserts are pretty cool. They have a home court insert, which is very similar. If you follow baseball, the baseball releases, baseball has a home field advantage card. So they take the player, they take the city that they're associated with, and they put some sort of logo or picture that would let you know, hey, this is the city that they're with. I love these cards. And then they're doing the same thing for basketball. So it's called a home court insert. For example, Victor's got his Spurs card there that it shows a picture of the Alamo behind him. And it also shows a UFO kind of floating on top of the card, obviously, because his nickname is the Alien. And these just look really cool. I think they're going to be good chases that people are going to want. I guess these are coming in one every 2,400 hobby packs, and then one in every 400 jumbo hobby packs. So pretty tough pull. Another big one, the numbered variation parallel. Baseball also had this one as well, and I love this idea. Like I said before, there's tons of parallels, tons of variations, but this is a numbered parallel that's associated directly with the player's jersey number. So, for example, if you are talking about Victor, the card has a outline that is the number of the player. So for Victor, it's got ones all over the border. And obviously with him being one, there's only one card. Now LeBron has one as well. It has 23s all over it, and his are going to be numbered to 23. So some pretty tough pulls. I think you're looking at one in every 5,200 hobby packs. So that's crazy, but these are huge case hits, and I think it's a really cool product. Sticking with Victor, like this is his first. He's exclusive to Fanatics, and obviously Topps and Fanatics are pretty much the same thing now. Fanatics owns Topps, so this is Victor's first licensed autograph. Pulling his cards now, it's gonna be a pretty big deal. Some of the other stuff I liked, the 45th anniversary real one autos that are on the Topps. Loves to do these throwback cards, and I think they're some of my favorites. So they stamp a 45th anniversary sticker or stamp on the upper left corner, and this is reflective of the 1980-81 season Topps design. So I love when they do this. Big fan of like retro stuff, and I just think it's really cool. Another thing I like, they have an All Kings insert. This is very similar to the Diamond Aces for baseball. Some of the inserts are just really, really cool. So I am looking forward to it. I know at the time of pre-order, you were looking at about $120 for a hobby box. Now that you weren't guaranteed an auto, it was either one auto or one relic card, and everyone craps all over the relics. I get it. But jumbo hobbies, I think you were looking at around $230 to $240 for a jumbo hobby, which, look, if you compare this to some of the Panini products, especially football and all these products that are coming out, and the cheapest you could get a hobby box is $400, $500, $600. If you're telling me I can buy a jumbo and get nearly 400 cards, almost a complete base set in one box, and I'm only dropping maybe $250 on this, and I could get a lot of potential for really cool autographs, I might take a jump on this. I think it's going to be good. So I'm super excited. That comes out Thursday. That will be awesome. Can't wait to see some of these early rips and videos and see what people are posting. And maybe I have my email set, my email notification. Topps is supposed to tell me when this product goes live. We shall see how many minutes it takes for the hobbies and jumbo hobbies to sell out. But maybe your boy's going to drop an order and try to grab me a box. I managed to jump back in with the Topps update for baseball, and I'm looking forward to that. Apparently that got pushed. Nobody said anything about that. Apparently that got pushed all the way into the second week of November, which kind of sucks, but I see what they're doing. I really think they're clearing everything out of the way for NBA basketball. That's coming up Thursday. And then is it going to coincide with the start of the season? I think that the first game of the season is Thursday. So, hey, that's perfect timing. If I'm Topps, yeah, clear the deck, line this up with the opening tip off, and away we go. So I'm pretty excited. I haven't been collecting basketball in quite some time, and maybe it's time to dive back in. So, like I said, this episode's going to be a little bit different. Obviously, the Bills are on a bye week, and wrestling, I need to take a break from wrestling after all the stuff that we were doing with the John Cena thing, and we did a deep dive into his retirement tour so far and Crown Jewel and whatever. So I'm kind of going to put wrestling on the back burner this week because there's really not a ton going on. We're going to dive right back in real soon. Don't worry, folks. But what I wanted to do is kind of mix it up a little bit. This is the bye week for Bills, and a couple things before we dive into this little exercise that I got going on. Let's talk about all the trades the Bills have made so far. It's 4 p.m. on Monday afternoon, and the Bills have made no trades. That's right. We did not play this weekend. We've been off for, what, 8 days, 9 days now? Actually, about a week since we lost to the Falcons, so it's been a whole week, and there's no news coming out of One Bills Drive, Orchard Park, nothing going on, no trades for Chris Olave yet. We're hearing all sorts of rumors of who this team is supposed to be linked to, and there's all sorts of players allegedly available for trade. The Dolphins are in chaos, so they're talking about Waddle being available. How do you all feel about Jalen Waddle being a Bill? I say if he is available and the Dolphins are dumb enough to trade him within the division, I think he would be just as great an option as the Chris Olave idea that I love. And so the Bills have done nothing. I don't know what they're waiting for. I understand that the trade deadline is coming up in, what, another 2 weeks? 2.5 weeks, something like that. But you had the bye week. Like, get the guy in camp, get him in your building, and let's roll, because things ain't going to get easier. I know we have the Panthers coming up this Sunday, 1 o'clock. Thank God. It's a 1 o'clock kickoff. I'm super excited for that. And I'm going to drop the game preview versus the Panthers probably later this week. You'll probably see that come out Thursday or Friday. But yeah, I mean, after that, we got the Chiefs coming to town. So if you're going to make a move, I would have loved to have him kind of, whoever that player is, whether it's a wide receiver, a cornerback, a safety, whomever you want to bring in, it would have been nice to have them dive into your playbook, get him in your building, start practicing during this off week, and then kind of slow play it a little bit for this Carolina game. Look, if we, I don't want to overreact to losing two in a row. Like, side note, quick side note, social media, if y'all have been on social media in the last week, over the weekend, as the NFL world continues while we're on a bye, if you are on social media checking out anything Bills related, oh my God, it's like the sky is falling and we're doomed and we're the worst team in the league. And, you know, I can only stay on and I can only look at so many negative posts and nonsense from mafia members. Mafia guy, like, I love you all, but what, like, y'all need something else in your life. Go take a walk. Go see a show. Go to the movies. Go, I don't know, go to a zoo. Do something, because y'all are sitting on social media and just crushing everybody, and everything's doom and gloom, and the sky is falling, and it's just awful. It's awful being a Bills fan listening to other Bills fans. I'm sorry, I love you all, but you all are freaking ridiculous. Y'all need to take a deep breath. There's reasons for optimism. Yes, there's reasons for pessimism. You all can choose which side of the spectrum you want to be on. I can't operate there anymore. I used to live in the pessimistic side, and it's just so defeating and demoralizing, and it's just a terrible negative place to be. And you just feel like crap when I don't know. Y'all need to make a decision, like what kind of fan you want to be. And I'm not crapping on you either way, but I don't know. I get it. Like, this team is so important to me too, but man, we all need to go find some other hobbies too, in addition to loving this team, because I don't know. I can only stay on this social media stuff for so long, and that's ridiculous. So, but yeah, as I was saying, there's all these rumors right now about players available for trade and what are we going to do? And I was really hoping the Bills would have something done real quick after that loss. Y'all know what you need. And we've talked about it so many times. Safety, cornerback, wide receiver, maybe another linebacker. If the Milano thing is going to be a long-term issue, we're already hearing that Jordan Poyer is going to be activated, and he's probably going to be maybe the starting safety instead of Rapp, because Rapp is just a train wreck right now. So Jordan Poyer, you want him as your starting safety? I don't know. Maybe can't be any worse at this point. But cornerback, we've talked about Trey White and Christian Benford for forever. Terrell Bernard, he's been kind of disaster so far. Matt Milano's hurt. Dorian Williams is, oh God. There's so many holes in this team. And then we talked about wide receiver time after time, game after game, and how the offense takes, you know, these huge long drives and chunks of the game off. And look, I hope they all had a nice break. I hope that Joe Brady and McDermott and Bobby Babich really decided to take a good hard look at this team and what our needs were and what needed to be addressed. And they, you know, gave their wish list to Brandon Bean, and he is, you know, working the lines, working the phones, working the magic as we speak, because a trade absolutely needs to be made. It needed to be made. I kind of disappointed it hasn't happened yet, but we shall see what happens. So what do we want to do on this bye week? I don't want to sit here and I don't want to pull up articles about how the Bills are screwed and this, that, and the other. What I wanted to do, in keeping with this theme of bye, I wanted to see and take a look at some of the players and some of the trades the Bills have made over the years, some of the players the Bills have decided to say goodbye to over the last 20 years of their storied franchise. I thought it'd be fun to kind of see, hey, did this deal work out? Was this a good thing? Was this a bad thing? With all this talk surrounding the trade market now, I thought it might be fun to do. So where did I start? I got in the DeLorean and I headed all the way back to 2003. That's right. If y'all remember a great wide receiver by the name of Peerless Price, he was one of my favorites. He was one of my favorites. He was coming off a monster season where he had 94 catches and 1,200 yards receiving. He was a beast. So what did the Bills do? They decided, I think they put the franchise tag on him, which was crazy back in 2003. What did they decide to do? Because they were so cheap, they didn't want to pay him. They shipped him off to Atlanta. And who was the quarterback of the Falcons back in 2003? This was none other than Michael Vick. Yep, that's right, that Michael Vick. So the Falcons actually gave us a first round draft pick for Peerless Price, which if you look at that deal now and you think of that deal now, that's unheard of. That'd be like, I mean, that's Justin Jefferson territory right there. I know Justin would probably get, what, two first round picks at least and then some, but Peerless Price, yeah, he was solid, but holy cow, he wasn't like a top five wide receiver in the league. But the Falcons were desperate to get Vic some help, and so they gave us a first round pick in the draft there, and it ended up being the 23rd overall pick. So what do we do with it? We went and drafted, out of Miami, none other than Willis McGahee. Now, if you remember the national championship game, it was McGahee and he blew out his knee and suffered a terrible, pretty catastrophic knee injury. So what the Bills do in their infinite wisdom back in 2003, they decided, hey, well, that sounds like a great idea. Let's draft this guy who's not going to be able to play for an entire year. And so they drafted McGahee and he then proceeded to sit the entire season. And I mean, he was fine for us. Like, I really enjoyed watching him play when he was on the field. Yeah, I don't know. That deal, win, loss, I guess it was fine. We weren't really going anywhere at the time. But yeah, so that was definitely an interesting one. I would say we probably won that deal because Peerless Price really didn't do much of anything on the Falcons. And McGahee turned out to be aight. So then we fast forward. This is another one I kind of saw and I was like, oh, this is crazy. 2009, we had, everyone knows and remembers the awesome left tackle Jason Peters. This guy was a freaking beast. I mean, I don't remember growing up in my 20s really knowing too many left tackles. Like, it wasn't a thing that I really focused on, I guess. But Jason Peters was recognized throughout the entire league as being probably one of the top three left tackles in the game. This guy was a freaking stud. And the Bills didn't want to pay him either. I mean, you're going to see a trend here. So they traded him to the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, what did Philly give up for Jason Peters? They gave us a first, a fourth, and a sixth round pick for Jason Peters. Now, the fourth and the sixth kind of turned into nothing. And so what we did, we ended up drafting Eric Wood, who was a center, with our first round pick. Now, Eric Wood, I love Eric Wood. Eric Wood is probably one of the guys I would consider getting a jersey for. You know, some of these older historic Bills, I think he's great. I think he had a great career with the Bills. Unfortunately, he never won anything. And even worse, he had to retire because of a neck injury, and that kind of just derailed what was a pretty solid, pretty pretty great career. But Jason Peters for Eric Wood. I mean, I love Eric Wood, but Jason Peters was a stud. So I think we absolutely got hosed on that deal. And then probably one of the worst trades we've ever made, 2010, good old Marshawn Lynch. Now, Marshawn Lynch, he had been on the team for a couple of years, and he had been getting into some trouble and, you know, kind of seen as like this malcontent. I know he had some issues with driving and things like that and some weapons charges. So he wasn't really looked at too favorably. So here comes the Seattle Seahawks and Pete Carroll. If you remember this, Pete Carroll was after Lynch, and he wanted the Bills to trade him to Seattle so badly. And so you think, oh, this is going to be, we're going to get a good deal out of this. Nope, we got a fourth and a sixth round pick. The fourth was in 2011, and the sixth was a whole year later in 2012. Who do we get out of this? Essentially two absolute nobodies. They're not even worth mentioning. Lynch goes on to be an absolute superstar in Seattle. He coins the phrase beast mode. You want to talk about iconic moments in Seahawk history, just the creation of beast mode. He goes on to score over 60 touchdowns for the Seahawks, rushes for over 6,000 yards, wins a Super Bowl, becomes the fourth best rusher of all time for Seattle. Bills, you did terrible on that deal. That was atrocious. You should be ashamed of yourself. That was an absolute train wreck and a red flag, red letter on the trading ledger books of the Buffalo Bills. So just a disaster, just an absolute freaking disaster. A year later, one of my favorite players, Lee Evans. I love Lee Evans. I thought he was super talented, and he just got a raw deal because we never had a quarterback who could get him the ball. I loved the JP Lossman to Lee Evans connections when it could hit, because Lossman, if he could do one thing, it was just chuck the rock, similar to like Russ Wilson throwing the deep ball. That's all Lossman could do, was just throw these ridiculous moon balls, and every once in a while Lee Evans would come down with it and you'd grab like a 70-80 yard tutty and it would be magical. But I love Lee Evans. I really wish we had a better team around him, because I think Lee Evans would have been just a freaking superstar. We just didn't have the team to support him, and so it was kind of a train wreck of a career. He played really well. He was super quiet. He went about his business. He played super hard for the Bills, and then what do? We shipped him off to Baltimore for a fourth round draft pick that ended up being another absolute nobody player. We drafted by the name of Ron Brooks. He was a cornerback, and he was fine. He's just like kind of a journeyman backup cornerback. Didn't do nothing. So I don't think that deal really helped either team. Evans didn't do anything for the Ravens, and his career was kind of over at that point. But that deal was probably a wash. I mean, we only got a fourth rounder out of it. And yeah, just sad, because looking back, like I said, Lee Evans was one of my favorite wide receivers to watch. And it's crazy if you think about it. That was only, 14 years ago? So not too terribly long. 2013, I found another one. We traded linebacker Kelvin Shepherd. Do y'all remember this deal? We traded Kelvin Shepherd to the Colts. This was 2 days after the NFL draft. We traded him to the Colts for another linebacker at the time, Jerry Hughes. Now, Jerry Hughes was like supposed to be this problem child over with the Colts, and I don't know, there were a whole lot of red flags and warnings associated with Jerry Hughes. Well, he comes over to Buffalo and he switches to D end, and he becomes one of the most successful pass rushers for the Bills in team's history. Obviously, he wasn't Bruce Smith, but he played quite some time for us. And yeah, and the other key to this deal, moving trading Shepherd to the Colts and bringing in Hughes, moving him from linebacker to defensive end, this allowed us to play our brand new drafted linebacker, Kiko Alonso, who I was so freaking high on this draft pick. It was awesome, and we wanted to start him at linebacker, and now here's an opportunity for him to slide right in there. So Kiko, I loved watching Kiko play. He was one of my favorite linebackers, but how far did that go? Folks, that lasted a whopping 2 years, because then we decided to ship Kiko Alonso off 2 years later, 2015, to the Eagles. And who do we get? We got LeSean McCoy in one of the craziest trades you will ever see. I don't know to this day why the Eagles decided to do this deal. It was nuts. Absolute nuts. McCoy was an absolute beast. He came over to Buffalo and was probably one of the only bright spots on this roster for a few years. Kiko really didn't do much. He had a lot of injury history, and he kind of flamed out real quick. So yeah, we definitely won that deal, as much as I was shocked to see Kiko go. But getting LeSean back in that totally lopsided trade was pretty awesome. And then fast forward, probably the most famous current deal within the last couple years was obviously the deal we made last year, sending everyone's most hated wide receiver, Stephon Diggs, to the Houston Texans for, well, we not only sent Stephon Diggs, we sent them a sixth round pick in 2024's draft and a fifth round pick in the 2025 draft for a second round pick in the 2025 draft. So we gave up two picks and Stephon Diggs, and we got a second round pick out of it. And everyone like was overjoyed when this deal went down. And how are we feeling about that? Like it or not, Stephon Diggs was one of the most successful wide receivers in Bills history, and his four-year run with this team was crazy. It was crazy. I know things kind of wore out their welcome and everyone hated him and turned on him at the end. I get it. There was some bad blood there. You know, you wish you could just go back and maybe make a few changes, right a few wrongs, and get everyone on the same page, and then we wouldn't be in this situation, and now he's on the Patriots, right? It just sucks. The whole thing sucks. What do we get out of this deal by trading Diggs, a sixth and a fifth for a second? Well, not only did we have that second, we packaged that second and something else to move up 15 spots in the 2025 draft, and we took a defensive tackle, TJ Sanders. Oh boy. Now, TJ Sanders hasn't really done much of anything so far, and I know it's pretty early in his NFL career, but so far the warning signs are there, and this is not looking good, folks. Not looking good at all. But I don't want to rush to judgment because he's a young player. Sometimes these players take a couple years to get rolling, but as of right now, that trade, now I know everyone wanted to run Diggs out of town on a rail, but as of now, that trade doesn't look too great for the Bills. Anyone think we could maybe use him in the wide receiver room? If he had the right attitude, I would love to have him on this team right now, but everyone's like, nope, no way, get this guy out of town. And I get it. There were times, there were days, there were weeks I was in the same boat. It's just frustrating. You wish these guys could get their stuff together and get on the same page and just all be working towards the same goal. Anyway, it was kind of fun to kind of take a look back, getting the DeLorean hop back through the last, what was that, 22 years of Buffalo Bills trade history. Sometimes we win, sometimes we lose. But it's definitely interesting to go back and see years later, hey, did these trades work out for us? Were these good deals, bad deals? What do we end up getting? Because now we're right back in that situation, right? We obviously have so many holes on this team, so many areas, so many needs that we need to fill. Who can we include in some of these trade offers? Everyone's like, oh, we can't trade draft capital. Well, really, like, look at the players we've drafted recently. It's been pretty bad. And the players that we are counting on to be a huge help to this roster, have any of them actually stepped up and helped so far? The only one so far out of this draft class that's even remotely helping is Deion Walker. Now, that guy is an absolute stud. Now, if he continues to progress, that's going to look like an absolute steal. You know, we drafted Maxwell Hairston and he's hurt. Hopefully his window to return to practice is open this week and he can get back on the field. I want him on the field for the Chiefs game. Are you kidding me? You're going against Rashi Rice and the speed that they who's the other guy? Worthy. You need as much speed on the field as you can. So you better activate him now. But like some of these other guys that we're drafting, we're not hitting. So my idea, if you need to throw a second rounder, if you need to throw a third rounder and to go get some proven veterans, some proven young guys that we can extend after this season or next season, let's do it. I don't care because we suck at drafting. Brandon Bean, you have a pretty bad track record of drafting. You sit here and you hang your hat on being able to draft Josh Allen. Well, it's like finding a unicorn. You congrats, you got lucky. But how often does that happen? Because you also passed up on player after player. I get it. You drafted Josh Allen and you should get credit for it. But your track record on other alleged superstars in the making has not been too good. So yeah, if the option is on the table to trade draft picks to go get proven players to fill some of these holes, I am on board. Absolutely. And I don't care what it takes, because looking back through some of the you know, most recent Buffalo Bills trades through the last, 20 some years, some win, some lose. So just go for it. Like, we don't have too many more years with Josh in his prime. Do whatever you can. I don't care if we're sacrificing 3, 4, 5 years from now. If you have a chance to put a Super Bowl caliber roster together, and maybe we don't, maybe we just need to be honest about where we are, but we're going to make the playoffs, folks. Just chill out with that. We're going to make the playoffs. And if things start to go right and we get everybody on the same page, we could still make a deep playoff run. So make the pieces, make the moves, go get the pieces you need right now. Send a second, send a third. If it's the right player and it costs us the first, who cares? Let's go for it. Go for it. I am all in. I don't care what it takes. Let's do what we have to do. At least try. There's nothing worse than sitting here with a roster you know has 50 billion holes and y'all ain't going to try. So I am all in the boat of whatever it takes. Let's go get a wide receiver. Let's go get a cornerback. Let's go get a safety. Let's do what we can to turn this roster into the best possible version of ourselves. There you go, Sean. That's what we always want to talk about. This is where we come to be the best version of ourselves. Well, the team is not the best version of itself, and it hasn't been in quite some time. So do what we can to get everybody back on that road, everybody clapping at the same time, all in unison, and we're going to, you know, put the pedal to the metal and turn this second half into the season into a lot more Victory Mondays moving forward. Anyway, I thought that would be a fun exercise. I will definitely be getting the game preview with the Panthers out later in the week as promised. And as of now, that's all I got for you. So if you've enjoyed this episode or any other episode of the 3 T's, do me a favor, share it with someone you know, whether it's a fellow mafia member, a card collector, or someone who just loves wrestling. It doesn't matter. Trying to grow this thing one episode at a time. Hit the follow, hit the like, leave me a review, do what you got to do. Help build the 3 T's up into a big podcast that everyone can enjoy. And as always, I appreciate you all very, very much. So until next time, whether it's ripping packs, breaking tables, or dropping elbows, keep doing what you love. And as always, go Bills!